Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas. So I've just rocked up. I've just made it in time for the first bounce. Late change. Tom Powell has come in once again after being omitted for Kyron Hayden, who's got an illness, which means Aiden Bonner is out of the team. He's 23rd player. So it's just about to start. Basically playing a waffle team. I don't really know many of their players, but yeah, you never know, do you? You can't feel confident about us after the last couple of years. So yeah, just about to start. So hopefully we can get off to a good start, and I'll be back at halftime to give a summary then. Halftime here, 6-10-46 to 4-4-28. So dominated the second quarter after a fairly even first quarter. I think it was only one goal of difference. I think we kicked 3-7 that quarter. So for all our dominance, we just didn't put on a scoreboard. And West Coast got a goal late just to keep them half in the contest. Even though they've got a lot of players, I don't even know. Their core has been very good. So, yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting second half to see if we can continue the dominance. All good. Yep, just talking to the coffee guy, so I'm getting a coffee. So, yeah, so it's going to be an interesting second half to see if we can continue their dominance. Luke Davies-Uniac has gone down with a concussion in the first half, which meant Bonner had to come on the field, which has meant Kane Turner has had to go forward in the second quarter. So, which is fine. We've just had to restructure a bit in that regard. So we'll see how we go. It's going to be an interesting second half to see if West Coast can stay within the contest, because obviously our poor kicking has kept them in the contest. Nick Larky has been very dangerous. Jai Simpkin, it's been a very even team performance. So no one really standing out. So it'll be an interesting second half to see if we can continue. I think the third quarter is going to be very important. If we can get 5 or 6 goals in front, then it's a possibility we can really kick on the last quarter and get a really good win. So yeah, we'll see how we go. And I'll be back at the end of the game and give a summary then. So, full time, I've just got home a couple of hours after the game has finished. 10-14-74 to North Melbourne, to West Coast 8-11-59. So, a win's a win, as they say. Look, it wasn't the most prettiest performance. We did have a couple of players go down, LDU and Taron Thomas in the first half, which really hurt our structure a little bit, our rotations as well. Two midfielders going down really hurt us, so we had to shuffle the deck a bit. Aiden Bonner had to go on the back line, which meant Kane Turner had to go up forward, who did a good job, kicked a couple of goals, couple cheap goals, like he got a handball in the goal square and another 50-metre penalty. So, you know, but still contributed nonetheless. That was really important. And we hung on for dear life in the last quarter, really tried to slow the game down and, yeah, just hang on for the win. Even though West Coast I think that was 14 changes, obviously having a lot of issues with the COVID top-up players. So, yeah, it sort of made life difficult for them. But, they certainly look dangerous. Their senior players, like Willy Rioli, I think was very dangerous, kicked 4 goals and really looked threatening. But we more than held our own. You know, I thought our back 6 or back 7, as you've probably seen, really held up well. Luke McDonald, Aiden Corr, they were all fantastic. Aaron Hall with his run and dash out of the back line as well. And Hugh Greenwood in the middle was just fantastic all day. I think he had 29 possessions and 10 clearances or something like that. So, yeah, no, look, at the end of the day, it's a win's a win. You know, from where we've been the last couple of years, you know, we take anything we can get these days. And you always got to celebrate the wins, no matter how small they are. You always got to enjoy it because, we've seen the last couple of years how hard they can come by. So, I know we can make excuses that West Coast were down a lot of soldiers and, they definitely weren't at full strength, basically playing a waffle team. But, some of their players, have been in the system before, like someone like a Patrick Naish. You know, Aaron Black has been a very good waffle player. Declan Mountford, our old friend Declan Mountford, has played some good waffle footy the last couple of years. So, you know, it's still still a fairly decent team. They still had, you know, players like Petrocelli, Jack Darling, Tim Kelly, who had, you know, Tim Kelly was on fire in the first quarter, had 11 possessions, only ended up with 18 for the game, so he completely faded out of the game. Luke Shuey, you know, they still had a fairly decent team. You know, they still had that good core of eight players, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we'll take the win and, yeah, go on to next week against Brisbane. Anyways, I'll be interviewing Mark Hello once again, and we'll go through a proper in-depth review of the game. So I'll bring on Mark right now.
All right, so I'm joined here by Mark Hello once again to review the, I wouldn't say impressive win against West Coast, a win's a win, nonetheless. So, Mark, before we get into the win, how did you see the team changes to start with? Were you a bit surprised that Jaden Stevenson probably got dropped pretty quickly?
I was probably just as surprised to see Powell go out, to be honest with you. And look, I'm just guessing, and we're all just guessing when we look at from outside, you know, the four walls of what's going on within the club. Mm-hmm. But it feels to me like, look, with Stevenson, it was quite obvious that he wasn't running both ways and he wasn't doing the defensive things. He wasn't, you know, as Dave King said, you can't run around not making a contest. And when he's down on confidence, that is the way he does look bad when he's down on confidence. Versus the West Coast game where we won last year, where no one could criticize him. He did everything beautifully. So it's not it's never as simple as to say, I don't like it when when supporters talk about players and say, oh, they're gutless or whatever. They're playing AFL football. You can't be gutless. You don't even make it to that level if you like that. But sometimes when your confidence is down, your decision making going into contests is not as good, and you don't trust yourself in any way, whatever it might be. And look, he's one of those people that's got a very fragile confidence. And when his confidence is down, he can look terrible in the way he applies himself. But it's not because he doesn't want to try or he's, you know, anything like that. It's just, you know, some people's confidence are more fragile than others. We'd love it if every player was like Jason Horne-Francis, that no matter what's going on, they're just applying pressure, they're doing all the right things. But not everyone's got that mental capacity to be like him. And if we're all like that, then a lot of us that are supporters would be playing AFL instead of watching it. So we've got to be conscious of all of that. So I sort of understood straight away why Stevenson had missed out and they wanted to send him back. And I think they just want to send him back. Look, without the pressure on you, we want you to do this, get your confidence back and we'll bring you back. With the other one, it was a little bit like, okay, he did nothing wrong last year. I haven't seen him do too much wrong this year. And why is he going back? And I think with both of them, and I think it's a message to all of them, is unless you're doing the right thing when you haven't got the ball, you're going to play in the VFL. I'm probably frustrated, like a lot of supporters going, I don't understand the game plan. Is it precise kicking? Is it close in handball? Why are we seeming like we're so slow? And I think of a lot of it's all becoming a problem because our defensive pressure is not up to standard, and that's causing issues everywhere else. I might be wrong. I don't know. You know, as you well know, I'm just an amateur looking in, like we all are.
Fair points. We'll start with Stevenson. I think he's there was just some bad habits in pre-season in a couple of games he played where he was pretty much coasting, and I think that's led into a round one. That's probably a good lesson for him to sort of sit there and say, well, you've got to work just as hard in the pre-season as you. That's where it starts, and then follow it on into the season. You can't just flick a switch like that and make it's not that simple, unfortunately. AFL level football is not that simple where you can just flick a switch and turn it on when you feel like it. And he wasn't great against Hawthorn, but he probably wasn't the worst either, but unfortunately just his pre-season was too poor, and they wanted to set an example on him. Tom Powell was a surprise, that's for sure. I thought I thought he did all right against Hawthorn. He certainly grew into the game. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure what goes on in training. If they see something there that probably they're not happy with or something like that. But, you know, he was serviceable yesterday and had to play a big part when LDU and Taron Thomas went down injured too. So, and he was he's probably a player that's going to have to play a big part this week against Brisbane as well. I don't think he'll get dropped this week. So, we'll see how we go. And Callum Coleman-Jones, obviously, that's just a structure thing. So, unfortunately, I have to miss yet. And, with the form that Tristan Cherry was in yesterday, you can certainly understand why he did miss out. We'll go to the game. So how did you see the game? I mean, you talked about it a little bit. Like, you're not sure about the game plan and what we're doing. So,
I'll be honest. And I have to say, I thought David King, who knows a lot more about footy than I do, obviously, I thought he was too critical after the Melbourne practice game about the lack of game plan and everything else. So I thought, we couldn't have done as well as we did in the back half of last year without a game plan. So how can we suddenly have no game plan? But four games in, as in two practice matches and two AFL season games in, it is getting worrying that it's hard to see exactly what the plan is.
Yeah.
But again, I'm wondering, I thought about it for a while this afternoon and thought, at the end of last season, the one thing you absolutely could hang your hat on is when the opposition had the ball, we were applying huge amounts of pressure where I haven't seen that in the two practice games or the two main games. And I thought during the practice games it wasn't happening just because they were practice games. But that actually hasn't changed against Hawthorn and it was as bad against West Coast. So I've just... If that's going wrong, then it's going to put so much pressure on you because the opposition's feeling good because once they get the ball, they can move it quickly without too much going wrong. And that certainly was the case with Hawthorn. And then when we've got the ball, we're just desperate. We've got to try and we're trying to kick the ball, these perfect 40-meter kicks down the corridor. Now that kick that ended up in Thomas's hands where he kicked the goal from 80 meters out. That could easily have just come straight back over their heads and been a goal the other way. Now, it was a beautiful kick.
Yeah.
Thomas made it look good. So I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if that's going to work. It's the same with these short handballs when they're right next to each other.
By the time
it's taking 5 minutes to get the ball out of that area, and by the time they do, the opposition's back the other way and we're slowed down again. So, and then, look, I'll be honest, I'm jealous watching Collingwood play and a couple of other sides who have just seems like they've gone to this chaos game where they're moving it for far, they move it quickly and if they lose possession, they put the pressure on. I don't know. We just seem to I don't think it's as bad as it's probably seems at the moment, but it's a confidence thing. And I think our players look a little bit confused and a bit uncertain of themselves. And it's just making it feel a bit worse than it probably is.
They're fair points. We certainly look like we've gone to a more defensive structure this year. Teams like Hawthorn scored 78 against us first round and West Coast only scored 59. So we're trying to keep possession of the game. We had 385 possessions yesterday, and a lot of them were chipping sideways and little short kicks into the back half. And we were relying on that. We were almost trying to rely on a bit of a counter-attack football, if we get the turnover in the back half, trying to give it to Aaron Hall and Taron Thomas, who obviously hurt the structure. He was having a very good second quarter.
Very true.
Yeah, he had seven possessions. Could go on the first quarter. So we're trying to work a bit of – we're obviously trying different things. We're trying to be a bit more defensive this year, whereas opposed to being too offensive last year, where we were just attacking the corridor too much and getting killed on the other side. So he is trying to set up behind the ball a little bit better. Like, I noticed that on stoppages and stuff like that. He's dropping players back a bit more. Aiden Corr's doing a lot of talking, trying to set up structures as well. So we are working on things. I think he's trying to get a bit more defensive. In saying that, we only had two players that performed above their expectation for pressure acts in the team, whereas West Coast had about eight or something like that.
And one of them was a second game 18-year-old.
That's right. So, yeah, exactly right. And another one was, you look at the West Coast, Patrick Naish, Petroski Seaton, their pressure Axe were very good yesterday, whereas us, we had Lockie Young, who had 26 pressure acts, which is above average for his position. And I think it was Cameron Zerha. Oh, not Cameron Zerha. No, it was Josh Walker. See, Cameron, I'll mention Cameron Zerha. His pressure has been a little bit down this year. Like, I feel like his best football is when he's defensive first and then the offense comes with it. Yesterday, he only laid one tackle and, yeah, only applied 18 pressure points, which is probably a bit below average for a half forward. So, yeah, it's got to be a team thing where we've got to be, you know, we've got to be a bit more relentless, like you said. Like, you look at the Collingwood, how they've been performing the first couple of rounds.
Yep.
Or maybe we're just trying to pace ourselves through the season and push ourselves a bit harder against the good teams. I'm not too sure. So,
well, you raised lots of interesting points there. And the other one is that the one thing that stood out to me is, and if you forget David Noble's press conference, and I was frustrated. When he talks last week, he talked about being encouraged after the Hawthorn game, and today he said it was great nourishment for the players to get a win. They're just cliches, and as a supporter, you can get frustrated.
Yeah,
but I looked at his face at the final siren, and he was devastated.
Yeah, he didn't look happy. Yeah,
no.
He looked very unhappy. Yeah, yeah. He looked a little bit flat. And obviously, you got a bit of time, and you say words at the press conference, but whether you actually mean it or not, you've got to say the right things. And it was a little bit of a buttering up the supporters. You know, I'm glad the supporters got the win, you know, but, you look at Twitter and all that, most supporters weren't happy. I was happy just to get the win, to be honest with you. I'm always happy to get the win. You've always got to celebrate the small wins, I believe. So, especially where we've been the last couple of years, we haven't celebrated many. So, yeah, to get a win. I mean, if we lost yesterday, it would have been absolute chaos, because you look at the next seven or eight rounds, we could have been 0-8, 0-9.
And I'll be honest with you. As I said, I was wrongly critical of David King after the Melbourne game, where he said he was concerned where the game plan was going, and I thought he was being too negative and they had it under control. I now realise that he knows a lot more than I do. And he had some reasons to be concerned, because look, when the game finishes and we've won or lost, for 2021 and 2022, it doesn't really matter how many games we win. It's really about what direction we can see we're heading towards in 23 and 24, because that's where we can see things likely to happen. And I think most supporters are a bit worried at the moment is that suddenly everything looks a bit lost. Like the second half of last year, you go, oh, Matt, this is magic. We lost the Bulldogs by 130 points, and now we're right in the game deep into the last quarter in the second half of the season. We're beating Carlton by 40 points. We're beating West Coast in West Coast. We've drawn with GWS. We should have won that game.
Yeah.
We're competitive with Melbourne in Hobart. Like we did a lot of things where you go, I can see where we're heading. And then suddenly we had a full pre-season. We're going, hold on, where are we now? We're a bit unsure of where we're at. So everyone's sort of going, okay. We're worried about it. But look, there probably isn't any reason to be. And everyone wants David Noble to be the right coach. We want that to work.
Yeah. Yeah,
100%. But you suddenly get nervous and go, geez, maybe the people that said he was a great manager but not proven as a coach were right. And you start to second guess it all. That's all natural and you worry about it.
Go.
If you ask an ex-player, if you ask Troy Makepeace, who's such a good balance with these things between the footy club and us supporters, he's very good at actually communicating with supporters, you know, about what's going on in terms from his perspective.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would say it's not as bad as what it feels like, and it would only take 1 or 2 weeks and suddenly everything could turn around. And I'm sort of hoping that's going to be the case at the moment. But I think we're all just going, can we, like, even throw a bit of caution to the wind, just show us what you want the club to play like longer term and what that game plan is. And look, if we're going to lose to Brisbane this week, most of us expect to lose to Brisbane this week.
Yeah,
I just want to lose playing the way he wants us to play long term.
Yeah,
and then that'll give us some belief. Okay, look, don't worry about wins, David Noble. Just show us where it's going to end up, and you might get more wins than you think anyway. Because Collingwood Hawthorn supporters would be feeling great, and plenty of North supporters would go, we should be feeling as good as they are. And we're not. We're not at the moment.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we're traditionally slow starters anyway. We've been like that under Brad Scott. So hopefully that's what's going on at the moment. So, but we probably can't afford to be, you know, like play the first couple of weeks like we're doing in the next few weeks as well. Otherwise, we're going to get our pants pulled down against some pretty good opposition coming up. So, yeah, look, there's got to be big improvement. I've got no doubt about that. And it's going to be tough now with, I think, injuries. They don't seem to go away from us at the moment. So, you know, they haven't. For the last few years, I mean, we haven't had soft tissue injuries. We've had just bad luck, like LDU getting the, you know, head into the ground, and you know, Taron Thomas getting a kick in the ribs, and you couldn't script that. So, yeah, I mean, it makes it a bit tougher. Anyways, going back to the game, which players stood out for you?
Well, I mean, look, in terms of the middle of the ground, we can only thank God that Greenwood was recruited.
He's very good.
Particularly with Jed not ready to go yet, and Cunnington, you know, he'll take plenty of time, obviously, and that the club needs to give him as much time as he needs. But we missed those two really badly. If we didn't have Greenwood at the moment, I think we'd be in all sorts of trouble. Just that big body. And he's laid 10 tackles on Sunday. You know, look, he criticised his disposal wasn't perfect, but he's going to be an absolutely crucial thing. And so if nothing else, we can thank David Noble for that for a start.
Yeah.
That's a huge plus.
Yeah, 100%.
And obviously Nick Larkey, he looks like he's at a different level now in terms of his strength. His speed surprised me a couple of times on the lead. That's a real positive. And I thought the back line held up really well. I thought Core started to show why we brought him to the club.
Yeah.
I think we should all appreciate probably Jack Siebel more than we do. I thought he was outstanding what he did against Hawthorn under all sorts of pressure. I thought he was great again. Luke McDonald was good. Walker was terrific. So the back line's actually holding up really well in a, you know, difficult situation. And they'll get Ben McKay back next week. So I think the back line generally is a positive thing. I mean, look, LDU and Thomas, unfortunately, were out early, so that made it difficult. Jason Horne-Francis is going to be a superstar. We don't need to talk too much about that.
No, definitely not.
And I think there's players like Bailey Scott and Young, as you mentioned before, that are doing a lot of great things without the ball. And Mahoney, you know, tries his guts out every time he plays, and he's a very clever player. So there's definitely positives there. It doesn't feel like it's about players not playing or players playing well. It just feels like there's a connection or a structural or game plan issue that they've got to get right. And part of that might be a confidence thing. And if they get that right, I think the talent, like it's interesting. I've got friends of mine who aren't all supporters saying, what's wrong? You've got a really talented side. They're not doing well, which is funny for them people to say that because normally people have no idea about North.
But it's
interesting. I just there's something a bit missing at the moment, but it's not we don't have to worry. I mean, the great thing at the moment is we don't have to worry about the quality of the list that we're building and the talent we've got. That's definitely there. There's just a few things missing. And if you look at, you know, the VFL side, there's some exciting stuff happening in there, and those players will run through the team soon. So
100%. Yeah, I don't know how much you caught of that yesterday. I watched the second and third quarter and a bit of the last, but they were very impressive, especially that third quarter. I fell away a bit in the last quarter, but there's certainly some exciting talent coming through there, and it gives optimism that we are going in the right direction with the individual talent that's coming through. I mean, like, we talk about, you know, we're almost talking like we've lost. I mean, I think it would have been a much better win. Like, we're certainly getting on top of them in the second quarter, but we kicked 3-7, which really hurt us. And we conceded a goal late in the second quarter as well, just to give them a little bit of a sniff. But if we kick 7-3, we're probably about 6 or 7 goals in front. And let's say Taron Thomas doesn't get injured, maybe LDU, all right, we lose him or one or the other.
Yeah.
We're probably looking at a fairly convincing second half. But I felt like... like you sort of look at the last quarter, it was almost damage control. We're trying to slow the game down. We're hanging on for dear life, and we sort of gritted it out a win. But we're probably pretty lucky. They missed a couple of shots too. So
I was flying home when the game was on, and I watched it when I got home, so I didn't know the result. But I must admit, watching the game, it never looked like we were going to lose. That was never.
Yeah.
It just felt like we were bumbling along rather than dominating, but it never looked like the game was out of our grasp and we were potentially going to lose. I must admit, there was times in the last quarter I got a bit concerned, but...
that's been a North supporter.
Yeah. but it felt like we were too good. Look, maybe there's a psychological element to it where you've got nothing to gain from the game. Like, David Noble looked so stressed from the start to the finish because he knew they either had to win easily or he's going to get criticised. And the way he reacted in the press conference sort of made that obvious. But, I don't know. It's probably the Brisbane game this week is going to be more of an indication of where things are at. Not expecting to win. If we're super competitive and when they've got the ball, we put a lot of pressure on them, I'll be super happy. You know, that'll be a great result. And then look, there are other positives. Like Zeri, you mentioned.
Oh, he was great.
He has now become our number one ruckman, and they really need to sign him up for the long term. He's going to be a great player.
Yeah.
So the combination of what's more difficult, though, is that it's not Goldie's fault. He's played his whole career as 90% game time in the ruck.
Yeah.
And now he's got to play 40% in the ruck or less, and as a forward, it's bloody difficult. And it's not—he's not bad at it by any means. Yeah. But it's not his natural game.
Yeah, but he looked all right. We'll talk about that now. I mean, it's obviously looks like it's the transition is happening before our eyes. Sherry got 91% game time, and Goldstein 80%, and it was pretty much Sherry in the ruck for the first three quarters in particular.
Yeah,
he was in the ruck predominantly. Last quarter, Goldstein went in the middle a fair bit. He attended a few more centre bounces, and he got 5 touches in the last quarter. It was still important. I think they go with that combination going forward, but it looks like it's almost, Sherry played really well. It's one of her best players on the ground. Yeah, had 20 touches, and how many? I think he got 10 hitouts to advantage or something like that I've seen. So, he was very good. So, and it's a good thing. Like, that's what we want.
It is a good thing.
Yeah, Goldstein can't last forever. And in the reserves, Callum Coleman-Jones is the best player on the ground by a fair way too. So, 25 touches and a number of hitouts.
That's right. So if you were thinking purely about the future and, there was no concern about the fact disrespecting someone like Goldstein, who's been an outstanding player for a club and a champion of the club, probably our best ever ruckman for that matter. If there was no feeling at all towards that, you'd be going, well, he's not going to play in the finals again for us, so let's move him out. And we either play Coleman as a pinch hitter or we put Callum Coleman-Jones in and he plays 70% as the second forward and 30% in the ruck. And that maybe then don't, because that allows us potentially to play a Coleman as well because they're more flexible. Because I don't think there's any way you can have Zeri, Goldstein, Callum Coleman-Jones ever playing in the same side again. It just doesn't.
No.
It doesn't work. You can certainly have Coleman in one of the two of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the way he plays and he can run and he's quick and everything else, but. So the club's going to, at some point this year, it's going to be a very difficult decision. We're brought in Callum Coleman-Jones as a very young player.
Yeah.
Clearly capable of being a second ruck and certainly a second forward versus a champ, ex-champ, or not an ex-champion, he's still a champion of our club. So, but he's not going to be part of our next finals series. It's almost impossible to think that Goldstein will be there when we next play in a preliminary final.
Yeah.
They're going to have to deal with that. I don't know, how or when. And it's the same with, you've got Eddie Ford, you've got Kurt, forward structure, they're going to have to work out what they want it to look like, in 23, 24 and start building towards that now.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Ford was a surprise. Like, I was a bit surprised in his preseason that they didn't give him many opportunities. And I thought, he's on the outside looking in.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I felt like he didn't deserve that. I thought he was pretty good in the end of last season. It was just the weight of numbers. We had a lot of competition.
He looked too good for the VFL at the end of last year, let alone now, where he again looks too good for the VFL.
Yeah, yeah. I think he definitely comes in this week. We can't keep playing in reserves. And against a good quality team like Brisbane, you need to bring in in-form players like that that can, you know, turn it. You know, it's got the potential to turn a game on his head. I mean, I know he's only a kid. He's only second
totally
year.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
totally agree with you. And they've got to have selection integrity. You can't have people dominating in the VFL when we're playing very average footy in the seniors and not bring them in.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So
they'd be a little bit concerned about the fact that he and Cameron Zerha are similar players in some ways.
Yeah,
but
they can fit.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to have to. I'm sure they would like more small forwards that are pressure forwards like a Curtis, who's probably still not quite ready yet, but he's going to play sooner or later.
Yeah, just in small pressuring forwards, what do you think Kane Turner's best position is?
I think probably at the moment they want him as a lockdown key to small, playing as a small defender on the opposition's best forward because he's excellent at it. Mm. But he's also, I bet they would, if they had their time again against Hawthorn, they would have had him against, I've forgotten his name, their halfback flanker that ran amok, running the ball out.
CJ?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
So people didn't realise that was his main job when he was playing at half forward. He would cut out the run of the best halfback flank, and we're getting chopped up in that position at the moment. Yeah. So I reckon that's why he got sent back there, and then he's kicked two goals while he was doing it. So.
Yeah, possibility. I think the injuries, they brought on Bonner, and he's pretty much can only play defence, so they thought, well, yeah, we're going to have to move someone, and they pretty much thought, let's just move Kane Turner up forward, who's played that position before, and he was very good. Well, I've got a couple of cheap goals, got a handball and a goal square and a 50-metre penalty, but his defensive pressure was quite good, and he probably could have kicked a couple more goals, to be honest with you. He hit the post on one, which is a fairly simple shot, so... Yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see what they do this week. I think they might even, he might even play a tagging role on Lockie Neal this week because of the midfield depth that we're down, we can't afford to go head to head against Lockie Neal.
That's a really good point. That you might well be right. That he might do that. Or, I mean, Luke McDonald did that job really well at times last year as well, but they need him down back, badly at the moment.
Yeah, I think, especially, I don't know if you watched much of the Essendon, you probably didn't, you're probably, getting a nice Queensland sun during that time, but he was very influential against the Bombers, and they didn't show him much respect, and pretty much won the game for Brisbane Lions on the weekend, so...
I did see that game. I mean, I couldn't believe they didn't tag him.
No, they didn't show him any, no one was near him. I think Darcy Parrish went head-to-head with him, but he was never near him. And, it certainly cost them because I think Brisbane, after the first half, they put a tag on Merritt, who was very influential. I can't remember the player's name. It might have been Berry or something like that.
It was Berry.
Yeah. They put a tag on him and pretty much cut him out of the game. So I would have thought Essendon would have done the same thing, but they didn't go down that path. And I think we've got to go down that path if we want to, be competitive because he's a big part of the engine. So... Yeah, I think either Corin Hayden comes in to do that job, or maybe even Kane Turner does that job for us. So we'll see how we go. Any players you felt like struggled yesterday that you felt like, oh geez, they're on the fringes at the moment?
Oh, I thought Charlie Lazaro will struggle to stay in the side this week.
I think the only thing that'll save him is if Taron Thomas doesn't get up. I mean, he's got a bruised rib at the moment, or something like that. But if he doesn't. If he gets up, I'll probably have to think that he probably goes out, Charlie Lazaro. He hasn't shown enough.
I think even with that, I think Powell, Mackay's got to come back.
Yeah.
Powell has to stay in the side.
Yeah, definitely now.
And then I would be surprised if Stevenson doesn't come back.
Yeah, he's got to come in. Yeah, he was very good yesterday.
Yeah.
In reserve.
And then, it's interesting with Young. his defensive efforts are really good, and he really does try his guts out. So, I'm not barracking for him to be dropped, but it's going to be interesting.
Definitely.
But I can't see Charlie staying the side. I just think I think long term he's going to be a very good player, but I think he needs a decent run at VFL level to. I don't think he quite believes yet. So, whereas I think there's guys like Ford, and funnily enough, even Curtis, who think they belong. Whereas with Charlie tries his guts out and he desperately wants to belong, I just don't think he really believes in himself yet. I think he will get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had 6 touches and I think it was minus 15 metres gained yesterday. So very, poor performance. When you really need someone to step up, he probably just didn't step up, unfortunately. He might. Look, if we don't have midfield depth, then he might have to stay in the team, and you just back him in for that extra week against the Lions. But because we at the moment we're down Will Phillips, Jed Anderson, Ben Cunnington, Luke Davies Uniac this week, and maybe even Taron Thomas, and then you're sort of luckily, like you said, we do have Hugh Greenwood at the moment because outside of that we've got Simpkin, who was a bit quiet yesterday, Tom Power.
I hope Jed Anderson's ready to play at least play at VFL level this week.
Yeah, they said he's still a few weeks away, which is a bit of a shock to the system. Obviously, he hasn't kept up his fitness program or anything like that, which is a little disappointing. Because he is in a contract year, and if he wants to continue his AFL career, then he's going to have to get fit and get fit quickly, and he's going to have a very good second half of the year. Whether that's for North Melbourne next year or somewhere else, it's probably up to him. So.
I mean, if you're at North Melbourne right now and they're in the situation they are with suddenly got injuries in the midfield and Greenwood having to shoulder that responsibility, he'd be struggling not to be frustrated with him that he's not even fit enough to play VFL footy.
I just don't
think there's any excuse for that, but I don't know. We don't know the circumstances, and
100%. Yeah.
So you can't comment too much, but it is frustrating. That's all.
Yeah, 100%. There's not much you can do about it now, obviously. No. But obviously there was other issues or anything like that, which is he can keep to himself, and he obviously has. So that's a personal decision. So hopefully he does come back second half of the year and really contribute to us going forward, and hopefully he can stay on the list for future years as well. So
can I ask you, Dino, what would you most want to see out of the game this weekend
against Brisbane?
Yeah.
I think a win's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But, you want to see a bit more dare. That's for sure. We're playing a bit safe at the moment. You sort of said about that Taron Thomas goal where we did attack the corridor, but they're our most two attacking players, Aaron Hall and Taron Thomas. It's obviously a structure thing. They obviously worked on this at training. They thought, all right, let's try this, and he put it right in front of him, and he burst onto speed. I want to see a bit more from players like Cameron Zerha, just the defensive, the grunt, just a bit more aggression as well.
He was good that he had 20 possessions and he was getting his hands on the ball. But it's just almost, I wouldn't say lazy, but the way he's distributing of the ball, we just can't afford once the ball's just outside forward 50, just to sort of I don't think he's meaning to be lazy, but it just looks
lazy. No, definitely not. He had 8 score involvements, which was the second best.
He's on the verge of having a big game, I'm no doubt. But
yeah, he started slow last year too, so I'm hoping he'll come good. We'll definitely need a contribution from him. I'd like to see us be a bit more attacking and just take a bit more on.
Yeah, I agree.
We're sort of playing a bit safe. We're chipping the sideways, getting 400 possessions, a lot of uncontested possessions. I think we had 247 uncontested possessions for the game as opposed to West Coast 180 or something like that. So, it's a lot of non-productive football, like chipping sideways and very slow with the ball movement. I understand he's trying to go a bit more defensive, I'm not too sure why that is.
It's not working though, Dino, is it?
Yeah. Look, it's not, and he's probably aware of that. Whether he's trying to get more defensive this year and then next year trying to get a bit more of a balance, like attacking and defensive, I'm not too sure. They haven't made that clear. He's talking, he's sort of saying, we're still trying to take on the corridor, but, I mean, anyone, all our supporters know that he's trying to throw opposition teams off, that we are trying to still attack the corridor and playing the other way around.
We won't kick the ball unless we can see an easy option.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they handball, it's handballing to someone less than a metre away. I mean, it's just, it's not chaos footy by any stretch. So, I mean, if I had one or two things I'd want to see this week, it would be, go for it, like be as aggressive as you want to be in terms of moving the ball. And if we lose the ball, you're going to be judged heavily on how you behave when we don't have the ball, how hard you pressure your opponent. It's got to be a bit more one-on-one. And also, don't let them have extra players behind the ball, because we just get murdered when they do that.
Yeah, 100%, because a lot of our players just bomb it in long half the time.
And, that's right. So we're slow, and then we eventually bomb it anyway. So it's just been pointless.
Yeah, I mean, I want to
see read more if you're the opposition.
Yeah. 100%. It's easy to set up as well, behind a ball like that. I want to see more aggression as well, like just roughing up. Like, it can get in, like, if we can get inside Lockie Neal's head, put a Kane Turner on him,
it
might just throw their game off a bit. I think that's the best chance you can, like, just throw them off their game.
Yeah, love that.
If we sort of play like we have the first couple of rounds, I just don't see it happening. Like, I think it's almost going for an honourable loss if you're going to do that.
It won't work. I mean, Cameron and Danaher and players like that will absolutely tear it. Our back line won't be able to cope.
Yeah.
If they're just getting that many balls inside, they're just too good. It's not Hawthorn and West Coast this time. It's really serious players.
Yeah.
And it's not fair on our defence to put them under that sort of pressure.
No, that's right.
We've got to turn it around the other way and try and lock it in our own forward line and try and protect our defence a bit more this week.
Yeah, 100%. That would be ideal. So, in finishing, what changes might you expect this week? You've touched on it already. Who are some of the players you might think will come in and might go out?
I find it hard to work out who's going out. I think Stevenson, Ford have to come in.
Yeah, I agree.
Ben McKay obviously has to come in.
Yeah.
And I think Powell has to stay in.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So then who goes out? I'm not sure, except, I mean, we know LDU's out.
Yeah,
Thomas is a chance to go out. He might be okay. He's got pretty severely bruised ribs, from what I can understand.
Yeah, he might miss.
And then I'd say Charlie's out, and then it's a question of maybe Hayden, maybe Young. Which seems a bit unfair, but I don't know who else to find. I mean, I think Bailey Scott's doing as good a job as anyone without the ball. And he's doing a good job when he's got the ball too. So I'll certainly be leaving him there now.
Yeah, definitely. He's been okay.
Yeah, and no one else is really playing that badly. It's more structural issues that we've got. So it's not easy to find people to blame in terms of players. And I don't think it ever should be anyway.
Individual
players. So you don't ever lose because one or two players have had a shocker. Unless you're at the top end of the AFL and then you've got Bonzampelli or, you know, those sort of players having a bad game. And, yeah, that can make a difference. And eventually that'll be Jason Horne-Francis for us when we're up near the top.
Definitely.
He was great again, by the way.
You almost take that
for granted, don't you?
We're going to have to. I think he's only going to get better. So, you know, there's things he does on a football field that in his second game that you wonder why players that have been playing for 100-odd games can't do, like just hitting simple targets, making it look easy. I mean, because every time he's got the ball, you think, oh, well, he's going to hit a target, where some of the others, they get it, and you think, oh, this could go anywhere. Even a short, simple pass goes over a player's head or something like that. So, he's a very special talent, and you'll only get better as the as time goes on, and even Pendlebury's a big fan of him, which is high praise as well.
Saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so
he's a superstar. He's going to be. Hopefully, he plays 300 games for the club. He's certainly. There's nothing, not one thing you can dislike about the bloke or the way he plays.
No, definitely, yeah. No, there's a certain level of the way he carries himself that you can't help but love him, the way he plays football. And he's pretty much, as soon as you go to the interchange, he's pretty much every supporter stands up and cheers for him, whereas every other player comes in the interchange bench, you can hear a pin drop. So, you know,
that's great in itself because hopefully that helps him, you know, fall in love with the club and want to stay there for a long time.
Yeah, I think he has. Like he looks like he's already made a bond with Tarryn Thomas and a few other players. So
yeah
that's only a good thing. I think Aidan Bonner might go out if Ben McKay comes in.
Yeah, good point. Yes.
Yeah, that's probably one that I'll probably think would go out, and then you probably got Lazaro. Hopefully Tarryn Thomas can get up, but if he can't get up, then you probably keep Lazaro just as an extra mid, and hopefully you can turn it around. But I think Stevenson's got to come in because he's that X factor player, and against Brisbane you kind of need those players to play. Eddie Ford definitely deserves an opportunity as well, so hopefully he gets his opportunity this week. Unfortunately, there's no room for Callum Coleman-Jones, so
I think Curtis, Callum Coleman-Jones, Comben, Gota, they're going to play sooner rather than later. It's just a question
of when the opportunities come up. Yeah, they'll definitely get the opportunities throughout the course of the year. They were all very good yesterday, and I'm sure they'll be very good in the VFL team for the coming weeks. Anyways, Mark, it's been a pleasure, as always. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, mate.
No, all good. I'm glad you got a nice tan up in Queensland, so now you can come down and it's this beautiful Melbourne weather. Well, it's been all right, actually, the last few days. So, it's still warm, so, enjoy that. And hopefully we can have a good performance against Brisbane this week.
Well, yeah, look, fingers crossed we're competitive and we'll be happy.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. So, we'll worry about that when we get to it. We'll still enjoy the win while we've got one anyway. So,
absolutely. Good on you, Dino. Thanks for having me, mate.
No worries, Mark. Thanks for coming on the show again.
So thanks to Mark for coming on the show. He certainly made some very good points about how we're going, where we're going with game plans and so forth. I mean, we still celebrate the win against West Coast, but obviously there's a few concerns and always room for improvement. And thanks again to Mark for coming on, sharing his views on the win against West Coast on Sunday. So we move forward. We're 1-1, so that's not too bad. I will do another episode this week. I have teed up someone to come on the show, and we'll do a bit of a review of our performance on Sunday and probably do a little bit of a preview of the game against coming up against Brisbane this Saturday. So, what do you say? Like, we can be negative and bitter and, sort of say, oh, geez, where's the game plan? What's David Noble doing to take us forward? But at the end of the day, you still got to celebrate the little wins. So that's the most important thing in life, Like every little win you celebrate and enjoy for a few days. It certainly makes life at work a lot more fun when you've got a bit of banter going on with your mates at work. I've got a few Essendon supporters at work, so it's nice to give them a bit of stick of where they are and where we are at the moment. So it's very rare that happens. So enjoy it while it lasts, and we'll hopefully put up a good performance against the Brisbane Lions this week. Anyways, that's it for this show. Don't forget to like, subscribe. I really appreciate all the retweets, the likes when I put the show out. It certainly goes out to more people and more platforms. A lot more people are listening to it now, which is really good. Obviously, the AFL season has started, so a lot more people are listening to it, which is fantastic. I love doing it, and I love interacting with you guys on Twitter. Sometimes I can't, get back to your messages, or I can't get back to your comments or something. There's just too much going on sometimes, so apologies if I don't reply or anything like that. So, it's been fantastic and really enjoying doing this podcast for you lovely listeners out there. Anyways, that's it. Like I said, I will be back later in the week, and today I will leave a shout out to Tim McGrath. Bye for now.